I'm Monty Show, Friday, June 1st. How the heck are you? I'm Monty, that's Jake. We are live on Periscope. We do this show 5 days a week on Periscope, which is live streaming video on Twitter. Make sure you find us on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. And I'm just slamming the music down right now because Jake would like to start the show by defending the indefensible.
Well, no, you're the prosecutor, so you get to go first.
Kevin Durant.
Go ahead.
Game one of the NBA Finals, Dubs win 124-114. And during the pre-show meeting, we were prepping what topics we're going to talk about on the NBA Finals. And I said, I just want you to know that I think Kevin Durant's getting a free pass. And I said, Kevin Durant did not score in the fourth quarter or overtime of an NBA Finals game. He got blown up defensively. LeBron dominated him.
Dominated him on two possessions, rather.
No, KD guarded LeBron James most of the night. And LeBron James...
That's not true.
Yes, it is true.
How many times did they switch in the fourth quarter? And you're telling me he guarded him most of the night. I'm telling you the whole strategy. I watched the game, the entire game. I sat right next to you and watched the whole game.
Yep.
The entire strategy, if KD is such a crappy player and didn't perform last night, why is it that the Cavs' strategy was to switch Looney and KD, or switch Steph and KD?
Well, because that's you would love to have, and Looney did a really nice job when they switched out there.
See,
you would love to have Steph Curry on LeBron James because LeBron will physically dominate him. On the possessions where KD guarded him, LeBron, I think, scored 83% of the time, NBA TV was saying today. LeBron dominated Kevin Durant. Dominated him.
Okay.
He did. KD didn't score in the fourth or overtime of an NBA Finals game. And he's, what, one of six from three? One of seven from three. 8 of 22 from the floor. Kevin Durant did not perform last night. Now, they still won. But I think he is in a bit of a funk. And when, as a Warrior fan, I would think that that would concern you a little bit because I think right now you're relying on Steph Curry to carry the mail for you at this point.
Yeah, I mean, I think we just disagree on this. I don't think he's in a funk. I think as a team, Kevin Durant in certain games, and not that it's an excuse, but it is a fact of life, and we've talked about this before. Kevin Durant, whether it's KD or Steph, one of those key players for them is not going to see the ball as much on any given night. It just depends how the game flow is going. And not that that's an excuse.
Not to be a jerk. Steph took 23 shots. Yeah. KD took 22.
Right.
Steph Curry took 11 threes. KD took 7. So they saw the ball pretty equally.
Yeah.
KD's maybe just not shooting well. The guy that didn't see the ball as much last night was Klay Thompson because his leg was turned around in all kinds of horrific directions in the first quarter. So he was out a little bit, but I just think that there is a larger conversation to be had that Kevin Durant's trying to do too much. And Kevin Durant's getting a free pass because they won is my point. But I think the real story of this game is the J.R. Smith incident. And before that, the block charge incident with the officials. And I think there's some misconceptions that need to be cleared up on these things. Let's start with the block charge. That play did not decide this game. That play, in my mind, was almost inconsequential when it came to this game. I just didn't think it made that much difference, that block charge. Do you agree with that? Or
no, I think it turned the tide for the worse for the Cavs. It didn't make it so they didn't have an opportunity to win. That's
sure.
not what it did.
Yes.
But what it did do is it completely allowed the Warriors to keep that momentum and to keep the game going in their favor.
And I heard a really good point today on Cowherd's show. He said if that was the beginning of the frustration for LeBron James. And that just trickled down all the way through the end of the fourth quarter with the JR incident into overtime.
Does LeBron quit in certain moments?
I think he quit last night.
In this conversation, just to be clear, I'm not counting the first half of this season before they made the huge trade. I'm not counting any of that. What I'm saying is when the block charge kind of play happens and he gets frustrated, does he quit too easily? Is that something he's known for? Like, do we expect that from LeBron? Can we expect that moving forward? Or was last night just kind of that night at the end of the game?
I don't think there's any question that LeBron James quit last night after the J.R. Smith play. Like, they got their doors blown off in overtime. The fight with Steph Curry and Klay Thompson that eventually led to the ejection of Tristan Thompson. You know, all of those things, I think, were frustration. But I think what happened is this is where LeBron can't compensate for the guys that he's playing with. George Hill is getting an absolute 100% free pass on missing that free throw. Rewind, and it's revisionist history. I get it. If he makes that free throw, they lose the game. They'll have 4 seconds to inbound the ball at half court with KD, Steph, Klay, great shooters. Sure, you have a chance. It's not likely. That missed free throw is what costs them the game. J.R. Smith being a bonehead did not help. But J.R. Smith is not the reason they lost that game. George Hill's the reason they lost that game. It's the NBA Finals. You have two free throws, one to tie the game, the next to win the game, and you missed it. You can't excuse that. He had made, I think, 13 straight free throws before he missed that one. There's no excuse for that. This is an NBA player in the NBA Finals missing the back end of a free throw combo. You can't do that.
Yeah.
Why is he getting a free pass on that?
Because I think it's easy to hate on the JR play. I mean, it's just a lack of, you know, mental focus, mental awareness, you know, knowing the score of the game in those situations is vital because it's going to, if Correct. He had known that it was tied when he got that rebound.
By the way, why is J.R. Smith lying? Because he straight up said on court, I thought we had the lead. And then post game, he's like, yeah, I knew the score. And it's like, dude, you didn't know the score. Number one, but let's talk about the missed free throw, because this goes back to KD getting a pass. Under no circumstances can Kevin Durant get out-rebounded by J.R. Smith, and I don't want to hear this nonsense that J.R. pushed him in the back. He got boxed out by J.R. Smith, who before he lost count and forgot what the score was, J.R. Smith made a really good play to get that rebound. And it's mind-boggling to me that a guy like Kevin Durant gets beat on that rebound. And the other thing that I thought was fantastic today on Twitter, Ryan Jorgensen said on Twitter today, Ryan T. Jorg with a J, Ryan T. Jorg said, another question I have is, why is J.R. Smith on the line for that board? It worked out. He got the board, but LeBron should have been the guy there. That's a really good point. That's a critical free throw in that game. It's for game one of the NBA final.
Well, it's for the series if you're the Cavs. I mean, you win that game, you're in just a much better position.
Why is LeBron not on the block rebounding there? He's much bigger.
Because I think this speaks to, logically, yeah, he would.
Yes.
But this speaks to where he was at mentally, right? He wasn't mentally in every little detail
But
of
I
the
think
game.
He was. I think LeBron at that point was. His mental meltdown did not start until George Hill missed that free throw. And then it really happened when JR dribbled out, and then he was just not present. Like, I think the JR Smith play broke LeBron's spirit. Because if JR goes straight back up, they're up 1-0 right now, and they're kicking it in San Francisco until Sunday. And now they're not, and they should be. And I think it broke LeBron's spirit. I truly believe that LeBron James was not present for that overtime. I've never seen him fight with guys like that. Like, get into a verbal argument, not running back offensively. He quit. The game was over at that point. Tristan Thompson should be suspended. He won't be. Kevin Love should have been suspended. He's not going to be, they said. Because Kevin Love clearly walked onto the floor during the fight.
Yeah.
Not suspended. Like, the officiating in this game is something else that we need to talk about.
Yeah.
It was awful. But I think, the NBA is the most difficult league to officiate. I think it's twice as hard as the NFL. I think Major League Baseball is not as difficult as people make it out to be. And now with all of the replay system that's involved in Major League Baseball, I think they get 9 out of 10 calls right. I think that the NBA is one of the most difficult leagues to officiate.
Should you be able to review a judgment call?
Well, no, I don't think they should be able to. But I think this rule specifically was changed. And this is something that clearly people don't understand because everybody was getting it wrong today. Again, Cowherd got this wrong today. SportsCenter got this wrong today. Both of them had to be corrected. They went and changed this. All they can do is review whether or not LeBron was in the restricted area. Well, they changed that rule. when they go to review that, now they can look and see, well, hey, was that a block or a charge? So once they review in the area, they can also review block charge. Did we get the block charge call right? They just changed that rule. So you have to know that rule. The officials clearly did, and they reversed it. And the last two-minute report said they got it right.
I agree.
I think it was a block.
I mean, he was moving.
It's not whether he was moving. It's when was he in position when Kevin Durant went to shoot? And I think he was not. I think he was
so
not
just
established.
To be clear, was he in position? That seems.
Had he firmly taken up a defensive position when Kevin Durant raised his arms to shoot the ball? That's what a block charge call is. It's not whether he's leaning or moving. It has nothing to do with whether he's moving. It's was he established in a defensive position? And I don't think he was. And sure, the argument is, well, if he's not, he's moving. Yes, that's very true.
But I'm not saying you're wrong. I just feel like that like phrase is very like semantic.
It is. And it's one. This is the problem with this rule is this is very much like what's a catch in the NFL.
Right.
There's no concrete answer.
Right.
And I think that call, by the way, is impossible at full speed. You cannot get that call right.
But a lot of people will say that call shouldn't be reviewable because it's a heat-of-the-moment call, and they should stick with the call they made on the floor.
But I think, in my opinion, it's the most difficult call to get right, is block charge.
Do you like all the replay that we have, like, in the NBA, in Major League Baseball? Like, do you like the idea of
the replay
era?
In Major League Baseball. I hate the replay in the NBA because it takes too long.
Yeah.
It takes too long.
I don't get what it takes. I don't understand why it takes so long.
It took like four and a half minutes last night.
Like, one thing that I think is interesting, and this happens in baseball too, you know, they're looking, I don't think people realize, they're looking at the same stuff we're looking at.
Yeah.
Like, it's the same clip.
Every angle.
It's
over
the same
and over
thing.
And over. Yep.
And we're able to say, yeah, LeBron was not in a defensive position.
His foot was on
like,
the line.
He was moving, like, you know, like,
all kinds of stuff.
I don't understand why it takes so long. Like, I just don't get that. I'm not sure what they're looking at. Like,
because they're looking at other things, too. You got to remember, they're looking at the clock. Okay, we're going to change this call. What does that mean? Well, that means Kevin Durant's got to shoot two free throws. And so there's a lot more than is it a block or a charge that's being looked at. You got to check the time to make sure the time is right. And so it just takes too damn long.
Yeah.
What I would like to see is the guys in Secaucus, New Jersey, which is where the NBA replay headquarters are, make the decision so that when the officials in the arena put on the headsets, they talk through it. And the guy in Secaucus says, well, hey, this is a block. Here's the time. Here's the setup. That's what I would like to see. It doesn't need to be. It's the only thing that video, you know, replay assist, VAR in soccer gets right. The official on the field's not making the decision, which I think is imperative because you need to move the game along.
And bias.
Yeah, of course. You need to move the game along.
Yeah.
And you would like to take the bias out of it. I agree with that. But here and there, officials did not cost the Cavs this game. George Hill did.
I think yesterday on the show we said this wasn't going to be an exciting game.
Oh, man,
after
we're
seeing,
wrong.
After seeing, after game one, do you think people will now watch the rest of the series?
Yeah, because you're watching one of the truly great performances that we've ever seen. This is, in my opinion, the single greatest playoff season that any single player has had. What LeBron James is doing, he is doing something that nobody's ever done before. Domination on this level, playing this well, defending this well, running this well, at this age. My biggest fear is that LeBron is playing so many minutes that he's going to get hurt.
Yeah.
Because he's on the clock.
Well,
it's just a matter
tired,
of time.
Man. I mean, like, and when I say he's tired, it's not as though you see it like a huge fall off in game. But what it does mean is that maybe he's just not able to finish certain plays here and there. Maybe there's just little things in game to me that say, well, maybe it's catching up to him. But then again, he's putting up 50. Like,
yeah,
I can't
How can
complain.
You not be mentally fatigued?
Yeah.
He's doing this. He really is doing this on his own.
Yeah.
He's getting – Kevin Love, I thought, played a pretty good game last night. I thought Larry Nance gave them some really critical minutes. But you're not getting much more than that. George Hill, he's hit or miss. George is either really good or he's just okay.
Missing free throws.
Like, Tristan Thompson essentially gave them nothing. You got 9 out of Nance off the bench. Jeff Green, where did this guy go? This is what's so frustrating about Jeff Green.
First quarter, but then the rest of the game he was gone.
But he'll give you 20 one night and 2 the next night. Like, the guy is incredibly frustrating. They shot 27% from 3. I mean, this team is garbage. It's LeBron James versus the Warriors, and he damn near beat them last night in game 1 of the NBA Finals. Like, how do you... This is one of the all-time great performances that I've ever witnessed by one guy who's got almost no help. I mean, it's legendary. If you're for that reason alone, you're crazy.
I mean, you ask how we beat him. I mean, it goes back to KD not having a good night, right? Like, KD didn't score 40. And this is the hard part for me. He put up 26, and that's a crappy night for him because of the shooting percentages, which I don't disagree with.
And the rebounding and the defense.
I'm not disagreeing he didn't have a great game, because he didn't. It wasn't one of his better performances. But what I will say is the assist number is good for him. I think you said he had 6 assists. I believe when they were playing the Rockets, there was a game where he had 1 assist. And I remember which game it was, but that game where he
ISO'd
his ass off, yeah.
Kevin Durant last night, 46 minutes, 8 of 22 from the floor, 1 of 7 from 3, 9 of 10 from the free throw line.
So he made his living there last night.
Yeah, 9 defensive rebounds, should have been 10, 6 assists, 3 blocks, a steal, 1 turnover. I mean, he fills up the stat line. But if you are a true superstar, and this is, again, and I know you're a KD guy, and I'm sorry if this pisses you off, but he's not in the elite of the elite. He's not. You can't go scoreless in the fourth quarter and overtime of an NBA Finals game and call yourself elite, because the very best don't need to hit a jump shot to score. You know, like, Steph Curry doesn't need to hit a jump shot to score. LeBron doesn't need it. Yeah, I mean, think of the best players. Think of Damian Lillard. Think of the truly elite players in this league, and there's maybe 5 of them, right? Kevin Durant has to shoot well or he's not scoring, because he's so mentally soft. And that's what I don't like about Kevin Durant. This is what I say about Draymond Green. Draymond Green's a really good all-around player. I can't give him the ball and expect him to score in the fourth quarter. Because what's the only way he scores? The fast break or the occasional three-point shot. He's not a guy that can take you off the dribble. He's not a guy that can hit a pull-up or create for himself. So Draymond Green does all this other stuff and is arguably one of their most important, not arguably, he's one of their most important players, could be their most important player until the fourth quarter, when all the pressure, all the load shifts to Kevin Durant and Steph Curry. And Klay Thompson contributes as well. But Kevin Durant is just not mentally tough. And that's where you and I part company. Because there's other guys I'd rather have. I think Steph Curry's more important. Steph is more important than Kevin Durant. Because what he's shown me in game 7 and now game 1, he wants the ball in the fourth quarter. He wants to be the guy that drills a dagger through your heart. And I love that.
But what does that do to KD?
I think
it takes KD out of the game offensively on some level. I think KD is just like a lot of other dudes who need the ball a little bit more consistently to get flow on offense. He's definitely one of those guys. Yeah, you're right. We disagree that he doesn't go to the hole. He doesn't go enough, but that doesn't mean he can't get to the hole anytime he wants to.
I'm not saying can't. Won't. Won't. Will not in the fourth quarter go to the bucket. Wants to shoot the 3. Wants to, like, I just don't understand. He's the best mid-range player in the world. Where is it?
I think it was on display last night.
Not in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Well,
but
that's what you're saying.
You want to write this off.
I'm not writing it off. What I'm saying is you're saying because he had a bad night in the fourth quarter and in overtime, you're saying that makes him mentally soft, which means he's not one of the best 5 players in the world. And I'm just saying that I disagree with that.
I think consistently, especially through this playoff season. Last year, he was a different guy. This year?
Dude, he carried him in the Rockets series to win that series.
Oh, like, man. He killed him in the Rockets series. All that isolation, not working hard defensively. Like, you saw what ESPN did on that, Tim Legler did with that highlight clip where Kevin Durant's just not running the floor. And the Rocket, at game six and seven, there were stretches where he just didn't run the floor hard.
Mm-hmm.
And you can't do that if you're a superstar. You can't. If you want to be the man, you can't get lapped by Steph Curry.
But he doesn't want to be the man. But he is the best scorer on that team. I'm just telling you.
Wow. I need a bucket.
I'm going to KD.
No, like, I'm going to Steph Curry.
You're insane. I'm sorry. I just completely disagree.
Right now, today?
What's going to happen? Here's what's going to happen. Steph is, and it happened last night, with Steph against Kevin Love. Steph got Kevin Love once, and then gave it up the second time. Turned the ball over in the fourth quarter, late in the game.
That's going to happen. Turnover. I don't have a problem with turnovers. I have a problem when you're playing ISO basketball. Here's a perfect example. You're playing ISO basketball against LeBron James. Steph Curry had Tristan Thompson on him. Did he pass it? No, KD did not pass it.
But I don't think the angle was there.
But what happened? Kevin Durant shot an air ball.
Right.
And you just can't do that with the game on the line in the NBA
doing?
Finals.
But also, what was he doing? I'm not saying you're wrong, but also, what was he doing? Because this is your major complaint in this argument. He doesn't want to go to the hole. That's exactly what he did on that play, and he happened to shoot an air ball.
Okay. I want a layup. I want to see him get fouled. Go to the line. You're the best. I believe Kevin Durant is the best crunch-time free-throw shooter in the NBA.
He just doesn't miss. It is impressive.
He doesn't miss.
Yeah. All I'm saying is, one-on-one, I get it. He played too much ISO in the Rockets series. He made that adjustment. He didn't do that last night. He didn't do that. And by the way, I will say, if we're going to say that LeBron had some amazing 50-point game, I'll also say he did all that, and they still lost. And by the way, KD had a terrible night. So what's going to happen when the Warriors go to Cleveland, put up 125?
Well, we'll see if that happens. And I hope that I would love to see
KD. I think
KD.
It's inevitable because I don't think that the Cavs are going to be able to keep up this entire series. I think they were rested for this game, and I think that means that they had a lot of energy, and I think they expended all that energy. And I have real trouble believing that they're going to be able to slow the Warriors down again and again. I mean,
there's so much time between games. I mean, there's so much
time.
That's
a two-way street, though.
Between games. And LeBron needs to rest. I mean, he needs the rest. I don't know. We'll see what happens Sunday, 5 Pacific, 8 Eastern, for Game 2 at Oracle Arena. I am really excited about that now, and I'm really looking forward to it, man.
I'm also the believer that says LeBron, everybody, and here's the hard part for me when it comes to this matchup of LeBron and KD, because that's ultimately the conversation we're having, right? We're comparing LeBron's game versus KD's game. The trouble I have with this is that LeBron literally has the ball every single possession
of
every game.
He can shoot whenever he wants.
He gets in the flow of the game because he's got the ball every time. And you notice, and we've seen this several times out of LeBron, when LeBron doesn't get the ball, when he's giving the ball up, they're a terrible team. Absolutely garbage team.
He needs, when he doesn't want to shoot, he needs a driving kick. Because Jordan Clarkson should just not put on basketball shoes.
They need to just cut him. Like, it's embarrassing.
They're not going to cut him. But you've really got to limit his exposure because I think Clarkson's really hurt them.
So my point here is that if KD got the ball as much as LeBron got the ball, he'd be putting up 52. And he'd do it more efficiently than LeBron does it.
I just hate to tell you this. LeBron scored 51 on 32 shots.
Right.
So it's not
because
like,
half of those shots were on Looney, right? So he got the mismatch, and half of those were on Curry.
Right, but Looney played him really...
Looney did a good job.
I'm not the one saying it. I mean, you look at the analysis of it, and Kevon Looney did a really nice job. Like, I'm sorry to tell you that.
Dude, I'm just telling you.
LeBron James, the level of difficulty of the shots that LeBron made in the paint over Looney was incredible. He made some really impossible looks over Looney because Looney's long and doesn't mind fouling people. And LeBron still scored. LeBron's the best player in the world. He's unstoppable right now. I'm not the guy that wants to compare KD to LeBron because there's no comparison to LeBron.
That's what we're doing. Like, in this series, that's what we're doing.
I guess a little bit.
Because this is KD's first opportunity since LeBron was in Miami.
Well, no, he beat him last year. So, I don't think we don't need to do that. There doesn't need to be a comparison between the two. because there is no comparison to LeBron. Here nor there. I could go on and on and on. Game two is Sunday. I want to get to this Red Sox-Astros series because now all of a sudden, apparently Chris Sale can't pitch in Houston, but neither can Gerrit Cole. Because Gerrit Cole just gave up back-to-back bombs to Mitch Moreland and J.D. Martinez. It is 4-3 Astros over the Red Sox.
AL baseball, man. That's what happens.
But I got to tell you, that I haven't been excited for a baseball series like this in a very long time. Like, this is a really good series. So you think the Astros are still the best team in baseball?
I think the Astros will win the series because it's in Houston. I think Charlie Morton's going to beat Porcello. That's what I think.
So you think that's what it comes down to?
Yeah, well, that's what it always comes down to. I mean, you can never predict. Like, when the aces go at it, you never know what's going to happen.
Correct. Yeah, you know, I would agree with that.
You just never know what's going to happen. But when the third starters in the rotation go at it, you kind of have a good idea. And I would say I would take Charlie Morton over Porcello this year. That's what I would do.
Do you worry about Chris Sale as a big-game pitcher?
I'm starting to worry about it. I was just thinking that. But I don't know. It's the AL. They both can hit. Like, both teams can really hit. Both teams can really pitch. Like, Chris Sale, you would expect him to dominate whoever he's pitching, but that's not the case. That's why it's Major League Baseball.
4 runs on 5 hits.
And how many innings? Where are we at?
We're in the third.
Yeah, I mean, so that's a rough outing for him.
Yeah, or excuse me, top four.
Still a rough outing. It's not like he's in the sixth.
That's not who Chris Sale's been.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden, you start to realize that three innings, 5 hits, 4 earned, a walk, 4 Ks, 69 pitches through 3 innings. That's a lot of pitches.
But here's what it says to me. And this is, again, I'm probably an Astros homer at this point, but this is what I really like about them. You know, they're always working counts. They do what the Cubs used to do. They grind you down. Like,
yes.
They make really good at-bats. It's rare that, you know, they swing a bad pitch first pitch. Like, they don't make those common mistakes. And so when you have good at-bats, and then you've got the Correas of the world hitting, and you've got George Springer, and like all these, just these good baseball players.
Bregman, Altuve, yeah. Correa, Gurriel.
Like, Bregman is a role player for them, essentially, and he's really good.
Yeah.
He produces.
Yeah. I think it's really difficult to be a pitcher in 2018 because you have no room for error. When you get Moreland and Martinez back-to-back, you need to essentially make. Because if each guy sees, I think the average is 5.5 pitches per at-bat, that's 11 pitches to 2 really good hitters. How many, you have zero margin for error. The mental drag on that is incredible.
Yeah, and Gerrit Cole's fastball is about as straight as it gets. Both of their fastballs are about as straight as it gets, really. So, I mean,
Mitch Moreland hit that ball deep and out of the yard. But it's interesting to talk about this series. Sale and Cole tonight, Price and Verlander on Saturday, Porcello and Morton on Sunday. And Mookie Betts isn't going to play because he's on the disabled list. And the dreaded injury is the abdominal strain.
What is it with abdominal tears and strains this year?
Abdominal strains are terrifying because it could be a week. It could be 2 months.
Yep.
We'll see in September.
Not trying to be a hard ass or a hater. If they're a good team, which they are,
very good,
they'll be okay. They're not going to be as good as they were with him, but they're not going to turn into some god awful team.
By the way, the JBJ watch, Jackie Bradley Jr. is 0-for-1. He's back at 197. He's under 200.
Party's over, boys.
So the 200 batting average for Jackie Bradley is no more. That was like 12 hours. Because he's back under at 197. But I think you're right. The really good teams, like Mitch Moreland's an interesting example. Because Mitch Moreland's not a guy that many people think about. But why is Hanley a free agent right now? Well, because Mitch Moreland's banging. And you're not going to take him out to play Hanley. You know, they couldn't find a trade partner for him, so they released him today. He'll be a free agent, I think, on Sunday. It's a 2-day free, you know, period. But they're getting production out of guys like, you know, Eduardo Nunez, your favorite former Giant. You just see guys like, Holt pick the guy that's not
just
the star.
Just like the Astros, they have guys who aren't stars but are quality baseball players.
But then you get 296 out of Benintendi, who they've developed, and they've done a really nice job of bringing him along. That's why I think they're really good. But Chris Sale scares me. And David Price,
I just don't
until he
it,
does
dude.
It. Until David Price does it in the postseason, he's not a postseason pitcher.
Yeah,
and it's guys like Pomerantz. Like I think I still maintain, and I know I'm probably being a red ass about it. I think the Red Sox are an arm short. You need they. That's where Chris Archer belongs. Now, if you're the Giants, if you're the Dodgers, if you're the Cubs. I mean, Chris Archer's a great fit for you.
Yeah.
But if you're the Boston Red Sox and you truly have World Series aspirations, you're going to go find a guy that can fit into the middle of your rotation.
And that's what the Astros have on the Red Sox. I mean, legitimately.
Absolutely right. Yeah, I mean, I would much rather have Cole, Verlander, and Morton.
And by the way, they have that on the Yankees, too. Just saying.
Well, and that's why I think the Yankees are a deeply flawed team. I think there is a lot wrong with that pitching rotation, with the rotation in New York. A lot. Like, you have workable parts. David Price, he hasn't. I get it. But David Price could throw a one-hit shutout in game two of any playoff
series.
Fully
capable of doing it.
Yeah, like, absolutely no question about it. Now, he hasn't. Will he? Probably not. But he's capable of it. And Chris Sale's capable of dominating any game, anywhere, no matter where, blacktop or dirt, he'll dominate.
Yeah.
But he hasn't. And Rick Porcello, absolutely the same, but he hasn't. So you have all these guys who should be but are not.
Unproven.
And now you got Sunday Night Baseball with Porcello and Morton. And I'm with you. I think probably you're leaning towards Charlie Morton.
Yeah.
So we'll see. This is a really interesting series. It's June. It's time to start getting
well, it's
on.
Forecasting. I mean, these kind of series in the middle of the year are absolutely forecasting series. Both of these teams are going to play this series. And the front office of both of these teams are going to say, hey, you know, they're going to evaluate. They're going to say, what do we do here? What do we do there? And how can we improve? What do we need to change? How can we be better time we face them? And how can we prepare for a 7-game series in the postseason?
An ALCS.
Yeah.
That's what you're thinking.
I mean, that's ideally, sorry, Yankee fans, that's what I think it's going to come down to. You know?
I do as well. And I know we have a ton of Yankee listeners on the show because I hear from them. But
I like them offensively. I just don't love where their pitching's at. They have a great back end bullpen, but it's the starters that scare me. Because
the Yankees are up against Baltimore this weekend. There's a real good chance the Yankees will be in first place come Monday morning.
Yeah, I mean, that's a real good chance. They're a great team, but it scares me every year we talk about this. Every year it's a question of okay, well, in the postseason, how are you going to handle your pitching staff? Because if you're going to ask them to go 7. You know, that may or may not happen, and that's probably not going to happen for the Yankees.
No.
So those, you know, Betances, Chapman, those guys are going to get work, and lots of it, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's concerning for me, especially when you think about, like, you know, I listen to a lot of podcasts and stuff, and the general consensus is there's going to be many times when Aaron Boone is not going to go to his bullpen when they're losing. Not going to go to those three guys because he needs to save them, keep them fresh.
And I agree with it.
If you're down more than 3 runs and you're not in a game, with you know, you're not really in a game, then save them.
But that's what today's baseball is. There's so much saving the arm. There's so much. All your young guys are on pitch counts. And, I mean, it's Lucchesi for the Padres.
Well, the problem is they throw so much as kids that by the time they get to you, they're pretty much used up already.
Yeah. But the Yankees, speaking of the Yankees, it's, what is it, Severino, Gray, Tanaka. I mean, that group of guys, Sonny Gray's a huge disappointment.
Yeah.
I mean, he's not been what you hoped he would be. You know, Sabathia has been a nice little step up, but how long are you going to count on him? And, you know, by the way, they're going to catch a break when they play at Toronto because Donaldson's on the 10-day rack now. I mean, like, he's hurt.
That's what I'm saying. And again, I hate to keep going back to the past. Going to keep doing it. We've talked about this several times. Injuries are going to happen, and we're in this buffer period, right? Where, like, the good teams, and this is the D-backs suffer from this something terrible. Great team first month and a half of the year. And everyone called me crazy for saying they're going to fall off and injuries are going to happen and they'll just kind of return to who they really are. And that's exactly what happened. And now we've got guys like Donaldson and Kershaw. And, you know, Yachty's going to come back now. Like, Bum's coming back now. Panic's coming back
now.
Yeah,
how
like,
about your Giants, by
like,
the way?
There's a lot of teams that are coming back now.
But look at the teams that we're talking about. Betts is a huge loss for them, for the Red Sox. How long is he going to be out? You look at the Giants, Panic and Melancon come back tonight. Hunter Pence tomorrow, and then Bum on Tuesday. And by the way, Hunter Pence... He's going to be a bench player. Mac Williamson, Boach said today that Mac Williamson's their starting left fielder.
Which I love, by the way.
Yeah,
love
it's that. The right thing to
because
do.
Because I just think Pence, sadly, is one of those guys that suffered from a great career arc and then just all the way down, like just skydive down into the ground.
He's not physically reliable.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
But he's still got that pop.
Yeah. I love the Giants in this division. They're going to be there. They are going to be there.
Well,
you cannot tell me
they're
going
to be there. I just doubt that they have the ability to finish, man.
But you can't tell me that the San Francisco Giants are going to sit here and wallow with this pitching problem that
they have. Dude, if they're for real, they'll go get an Archer. They'll go get a guy like that. If you're a team in their position, you'll go get somebody.
But how much money? If you're the San Francisco Giants, how much money can you keep putting into buying pitchers? Because that's not how you've always been. And that's not how you've seen your success. And you have now Stratton and Suarez, who are your guys. You drafted them. You look at Pudge Rodriguez's kid, Derek. He's up. Derek Holland is not, in my opinion, he's not an every fifth day guy. But, I mean, I don't think so. I don't think that Ty Block's a guy that they believe can be a major league starter. I thought they moved him. I could be wrong, but then they move him to the bullpen. Like, I mean, it's one of those things where they have a real need. They must go and get an arm because I think they're out of time in this division because now the bats are coming and your unbelievable defense. By the way, did you hear what Boach also said today? Pablo Sandoval's taking ground balls at shortstop because they don't have a utility infielder right now. They option Kelby Tomlinson to make room on the roster. So
I'm sorry. I get the point of why he's taking ground balls, but that's just not a realistic thing.
He played
second
really well at second
base.
Second
base is real different than shortstop.
Right. And I think if worse came to worse, this is my guess. Having covered Boach every day for 3-4 years, my guess is he'd move Joe Panik to shortstop and play Pablo Sandoval at second. That's just strictly a guess. Nobody's told me that. I don't know that to be true. But I would guess that he would take Panik and move him to short before you would
of
say,
course.
Okay, Pablo's viable here.
Yeah.
But I look at their situation, and you know that you're not – Jeff Samardzija's hurt again. He's on the DL with this shoulder injury. And now Andrew Suarez is going to take Ty Block's turn tomorrow. I mean, this is a big, big deal. You're trying to I'll say it again. It's no longer early. You're starting a guy. You're giving a guy a spot start on June 2nd, a young guy. That's a big problem when you thought that you were going to be a division contending club. You know, and you're going to have to fake somebody being injured.
Yeah.
Because you got to make room for Bum. You got to make room for Hunter Pence. You got to make room for Melanson and Panic.
Well, that's a good problem to have, honestly.
Well, yeah, because you need it. But like Mark Melanson, where does he fit in? You know, because if you look at Melanson, you spent huge money on that guy.
Right.
Hunter Strickland's your closer now. You know, like the Watson, Will Smith, Dyson, like those. He's probably better than Watson and Dyson when he's the Mark Melanson, but he's never been that guy in San Francisco.
Yeah.
And then I look at the Dodgers. Kershaw's back on the disabled list.
Only took a day. Nice start.
Welcome to the Clayton Kershaw Haters Ball. What is your deal with Clayton Kershaw?
Dude, he's not impressive anymore. Like, get off the Kershaw bandwagon. Like, straight up, dude.
Clayton Kershaw sucks.
Didn't say that. Didn't say that.
Well, he couldn't break 90 on the gun. And now it's because he had a lower
this
back
is what
strain.
I'm saying, man. How long? When does the mystique of Clayton Kershaw run out? He has not done it in the postseason for several seasons.
If they wind up hanging on to him and he doesn't opt out of that contract,
well, that
he's
just
probably,
simply that just simply means they're going to have to pay his ass.
They're screwed.
What I'm saying is the guy's not what you need him to be anymore. He is not your number one anymore. You don't have a number one.
You've
got a collection of guys.
That's and you know what? You know who they're targeting? I think it was one of the Fox. It could have been Rosenthal. I don't remember. I'm sorry, but they're talking about Tyson Ross in San Diego.
I mean, would be a decent pickup. I wouldn't even blame him for doing that. And I think the Padres should move him. He's got value. He won't have value two seasons from now.
I mean, right now, and don't get me wrong, Ross Stripling is their third guy. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball this year. And nobody's talking about that, but Stripling's been unbelievable. And it's because the Atlantic had a piece on how much of a student he is. And he is over and over and over said, I don't care how hard I throw, it's where it goes, and I am locating if it kills me. And he's done that, and that's why he's pitched so well. But Alex Wood's a guy that's been hurt. Walker Buehler's a great story.
Love it.
Now, those are the three guys that they're going to ride with, and they're probably going to throw a bullpen game tonight, I believe, is the plan. I mean, they're a mess on the mound. Like, look, and this is why I say, in San Diegans, I know you're going to hate me for this, because, again, we've talked about this on Twitter. Don't be prideful. Make good, fundamental baseball decisions. If you got to give up Clayton Richard, give him up. If you got to send Clayton Richard to San Francisco, give him up. If you got to send Tyson Ross to San Francisco, send him out. Because you're in a position where this team's not going to qualify for the playoffs. And I keep saying this about the San Diego Padres. You're calling up a guy tonight in Walter Luckett that this is a guy who's not special. He's coming up to make a spot start. And because Perdomo's hurt.
Mm-hmm.
So Lockett's going to come up, and he's 24 years old. And my question is, if he gets bombed tonight, do you keep him on the 40? I don't think you do. They've carried him for 2 years, and he's not been anything special.
Yeah.
You know, this is not Chris Paddock, who's been unbelievable since he came back from TJ.
Right.
Like, the Padres have decisions they have to make, and I hope they make the right decision here, because you're doing some really good things. You're starting to see the formation. And again, I'll just say, I don't know where Urias is, because he should be here. The guy should be playing second base every day in San Diego, and he's not. Don't know why.
A reason.
I would guess so. But you're starting to see, like, Villanueva. Here's a cat that is hit 15 bombs before June 1st. He's the first guy to do it as a rookie since 2001, when Fat Albert Pujols did it. He had 16. Like, this guy is raking, but he also strikes out a ton.
He's also hitting 220 or something like that, yeah, 240 or whatever it is.
But that's today's Major League Baseball, Bryce Harper. Strike out a bunch, but you better hit a bunch of bombs. And if you're going to hit 220, you better hit 15 before June 1st, right? So guys like Villanueva and Hosmer, and, like, what are you doing with Hunter Renfro? Padre fans... Again, no offense, but Padre fans are emotionally connected to Hunter Renfro. And I don't get it. I don't understand it. And I want to. I want to understand it. And I know he's a guy that can hit the ball a long way. Hunter Renfro is not a major league outfielder. He's not one of your top three outfielders, certainly. He's not like Hunter Renfro. I don't think anybody thinks Hunter Renfro is Franchy Cordero. Nobody thinks that, right? But he's also not a guy that you should care if they trade.
Yeah.
Now, if they trade Franchy, get all pissed off. I agree with you about that. If they trade Franmil Reyes, he's not a major league outfielder. Not now, not in 10 years. If you can get prospects for him, got to do it. Look what you did with Phil Hughes. You picked up Phil Hughes, you got to pay him, but boy, you helped yourself in the draft. That's exactly what you should be doing now.
Yeah.
Because you can never have too many prospects.
Yeah.
But I look at this NL West, which is why we're talking about the Padres. But if you look at this NL West, who are you really in their starting lineup? Are you attached to Travis Jankowski?
No.
No. He's raking. He's absolutely raking. Eric Hosmer, yes. Perella, no. Villanueva, yes. Reyes, no. Rafi Lopez, Now... I don't know where your boy is, because, and it's unfortunate, because if Austin Hedges was healthy, this would be a great developmental year for him. But it's starting to look like this elbow tendonitis is going to be Tommy John surgery.
Yeah, don't have to be a pitcher to suffer from Tommy John, just saying.
Yeah, see, what's his name at short? Seager for the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm.
But like Will Myers, are you attached to Will Myers? Because
no.
If Will Myers is healthy, Jankowski and Reyes, these guys aren't even, we're not they even are. Talking about
if
this.
If it was me, I wouldn't be. I would try to move him for assets.
I'd trade him. Because now
because
I've got
of where
Franchi.
They are. I don't think he's a building block. That's the problem. Right? Like Will Myers.
Yes, I would agree
in
with
my
that.
Opinion, San Diego Padre fans think Will Myers is a building block. And he's the face of, or was the face of the franchise before Hosmer rolled in on this huge contract that's not really a huge contract. Right? Like, so for me, I would be moving guys that have a ton of trade stock, like Tyson Ross, like Clayton Richards, like Will Myers, right? Like, move these guys, put yourself in a position to have a ton of picks, to have a ton of prospects, and to get some young arms that you can develop and put yourself in a good position.
It is frustrating that so many people think the Padres should be 500 and making a playoff push.
I don't get it.
Because if this team gets to 500, it's a miracle. It's an absolute miracle.
That's but that's the goal. Andy Green said it several times. Finish 500. That's their goal.
Andy Green's not a guy that can take this group of guys. I think if Andy Green had the Houston Astros, the Boston Red Sox, Yankees, Cubs, like any of the best teams in baseball, Andy Green's not screwing that up. Andy Green's not the guy you want developing a bunch of young guys. He's just not. He's not the right guy. And if they get to 500, I'm going to even say a minor miracle. It'll be a major miracle if this team gets to 500. Like, I just don't see it happening. Anyway, the point is, I just don't think that as you go through this thing with the Padres and you look at Walter Lockett tonight, if the guy throws a 3-hit, 1-run game, okay, we can talk about that. But the chances are it's the Reds. It's Petco Park at night against the Reds. He's probably not giving up. If he gives up 5 runs, it's not a good outing. Give me 100 pitches and give me 6 innings. Let's go with the Diamondbacks theory of winning. 3 earned or less in 6 innings. That's all I need.
Yeah, I'd probably
don't
say...
Don't walk 50 guys.
Listen, I would say for your first outing, for your debut, it's probably, in my opinion, the expectation would be 5 innings, you know, less than 4 runs in 100 pitches.
No kidding.
Yeah.
With this team in this park against the Cincinnati Reds, 3 earned or less, 6 innings full.
But that's a quality start.
Yeah.
You're asking a young guy to give you a quality start. I don't see that happening.
It's the Cincinnati Reds.
I don't care who
the Reds
it is.
Are awful.
It's Major League Baseball.
Yeah, okay.
Dude. Just because I get that they're awful
the
by
Reds
Major
are
League standards. I get it. I'm not disagreeing, but what I'm saying is they're still Major League hitters.
Okay.
Their whole lineup is not AAA guys.
If he goes 5 innings and gives up 6 runs, I would.
That's a bad outing. Yeah. I'm not saying six runs is a good outing.
I would DFA him. He's been around for years. He's 24 years old. He's a guy that throws 4 pitches and none of them are great. None of them are great.
So let him get lit and then cut him. You have nothing to lose.
Yeah. By the way, Tatis is still raking. The guy that everybody said was done and couldn't hit because he had a terrible April. Nah, the guy's still raking. So I'm just saying. Padres are in good shape. Today's National Donut Day.
Yeah.
Did you have a donut?
No, but I'm thinking about going to get one.
You didn't have a donut?
No. Didn't know it was donut day until I got to work.
That hurts me.
It hurts me, too. Trust me. I was upset.
Because I had...
I threw goldfish at people because of it.
I had 2 vegan donuts.
Were they good?
Oh, they were amazing. My wife drugged me to a vegan sweet shop.
First of all, she...
She had a gun to my head.
Yeah.
And I was handcuffed to the steering wheel.
She's taking you hostage on the vegan diet, right?
Well, what does that mean?
Like, still deep down, you're still a meat lover.
I mean, listen, I'm never giving up...
She's standing in the background.
I'm never giving up Wingstop chicken tenders with ranch and french fries.
Tenders.
And I'm going to be a good vegan when I eat those tenders because I'll have carrots and celery sticks. I will. I'm pouring some out for my vegan bros. I'm having celery and carrot sticks with my chicken tenders at Wingstop for my veganites.
Veganites?
Veganetics.
Like Vegas nights.
What is that, Ron L. Hubbard, Dianetics? Monty L. Monty, Veganetics. I'm having Wingstop, yes. I'm sure at some point I will have another burger. I'm not interested in fast food right now. I'm just not. I'm fat, and I need to lose weight. And I'm, you know what? I'm doing fine. I'm losing 1 pound a week. I want to lose 3, 4, 5 pounds a week. You know,
more gym time.
And to do that, You know, the part that sucks about donut National Donut Day is when I'm eating the donut, I'm like, dude, you're dumping sugar into your gut.
Yeah, the problem is you know way too much.
You know that your pancreas is going to vomit insulin into your system, and you're probably going to die because of it. So then I wind up going to get a physical, and my blood work is perfect. My spleen's the size of West Africa, and I got to get, like, all scared about dying. Right? So that's what happened. And, like, I signed a HIPAA release for the show so that I could talk about my health issue. So I had been having a little abdominal pain, like a very little abdominal pain. So I freaked the out and thought, of course, well, I'm dying of pancreatic cancer. That's the first thing that came to mind. Not the case. Not the case. So I go get an ultrasound, and they're like, because of, and I can't remember the fancy word they use, but essentially they wrote on the chart, I'm fat, and we can't get a clear view of all of your organs because you're fat. And it's like, thanks, man. I feel better.
So on National Donut Day.
On National Donut Day, I'll take a case of glazed. You know what I'm saying? But no, seriously. It's one of those things where when I eat a donut, I'm like, first of all, I eat like I'm on the freeway driving. I generally don't chew food, and I've really worked on slowing down.
I don't know how you do it, honestly.
I've really worked on slowing down. I'm running my foot over. That's why I had to back away.
Oh, okay.
I've worked on slowing down my eating, and I've gotten better at it, right? Not really.
Right.
But I've gotten better at it. And my wife, so the vegan thing is, my wife has really done a great job of meal prepping for us. And we have eaten, I guess it's 10 days, a week and a half, or whatever it is, a week? It feels like a year. Anyway, the point is, we've eaten plant-based for, I think it's 10 days. And I've loved it. I've absolutely loved it. Like, I had Coach's Oats with organic applesauce and cinnamon this morning. Bomb.
But here's my thing. Here's my thing, especially with oats.
Yeah.
When do you cut down the serving sizes?
I'm at a cup.
Right, how many servings is that?
I have no idea. I generally eat...
That's like four servings, isn't it?
I have no idea. I honestly don't care. I saw a nutritionist a couple of years ago, and she said a cup of oats in the morning is fine. A cup of oats is great. So I go with a cup of oats. And yeah, it tears me up, and I smell like an intestinal furnace for part of the day.
Wait, do we hear that?
What?
Oh, yeah, it's the fan in the background blowing the air around.
It's warm in here. No, seriously. But yeah, like I love oats and they're really good for you. But she's made all kinds of like these baked potatoes
making. The empanadas are bomb.
These vegetarian empanadas the lady's cooking her ass off, whole, organic, and I sleep better. I feel better. I'm not nearly as hungry as I usually am. You know, like if you eat. What's our burger of choice? It's probably Five Guys, but on the regular, it's Jack in the Box. I never feel so good when I eat that. You know, like it's not good for you. Like it's greasy and it's just not good for you. I don't eat all that much bread anyway. I never drink soda ever. And it's like, let's stop screwing around. I'm 45. I'm not 25 anymore. I'm 45. So it's time. And my wife's going up to LA for 2 weeks, and she said, because her mom's having a medical procedure, and she's like, hey, while I'm gone, I'll leave the menu here and the shopping list. And I'm like, well, listen, I'm not probably going to cook all those meals the way she does, because at this point, my wife is a way better cook on this whole food thing than I am. But I can make, like, I love turkey, ground turkey. I love it. I'd eat it with every meal. There's nothing finer than a baked potato or like a baked sweet potato. Oh, beta carotene for days. A sweet potato.
So wait, can you just explain what beta carotene is?
It's the main. It's one of the main nutrients that you get out of orange sweet potatoes.
Right, but what is it? What does it do for you?
It's good for so many things. Like sweet potatoes.
Well, what are just a couple? Like just a couple of.
So beta carotene is good for your skin. Beta carotene is good for your eyes. Beta carotene is good for your liver. It's good for your digestion.
So
it's good for your intestine.
It does help a variety of different areas.
Across beta carotene is one of the super nutrients, and I should look it up before I get it wrong. But I believe beta carotene is one of the super nutrients.
Oh, okay.
That helps you. It's like eating green when we do juice fast because we juice a lot. So when we do juice fast, you're juicing an entire bundle of kale, like half a bag of spinach, collard greens, or I mean, like you're putting a lot of green into that. Green is a superfood.
And isn't, like the chlorophyll. Isn't it the deeper the green color, the better, like the more nutrient rich it is, isn't it, right?
I don't know about that. I've no idea. I just know that green, the nutrients you get out of green does everything for you. From your cholesterol, your blood, it's fantastic for your blood pressure. Like drinking greens, it you cannot find, if you're a diabetic, juice. Because my favorite thing was pineapple, kale, tons of kale. Like I love kale juiced. A huge fan of it raw, but I love it juiced. Carrots, cucumbers, it dominates. It absolutely dominates for you. But if you look at the nutritional benefits of all this stuff, like beta carotene, another big thing about beta carotene, it's a huge antioxidant. So I mean, anyway, point is, when my wife goes out of town, I'm going to make things like baked sweet potatoes, and I'll fill it up full of black beans, pico. I'll chop up some fresh avocado, and I'll have that for breakfast. And that'll charge me for a good 5 hours. I'll drink a bunch of water. For lunch, I'll have ground turkey with taco seasoning in it, but I won't do the taco seasoning because I'm trying to stay away from anything manufactured. So I'll do the ground turkey. But I'll do it with this. Costco sells a quinoa and brown rice mix that's just divine. And I'll mix that together with fresh peas. And it's incredible. I could eat that all day. And for breakfast the next day, I'll have more ground turkey. I'll crack a couple of eggs in there. I'll put black beans. You just have to keep going. For me personally, what I can't do is I can't go to Wingstop. I can't do Jack in the Box at 2 o'clock in the afternoon because it like triggers the fat ass in me to come out. So then I want a Snickers bar, and then I want some, like my man. One of my vices is absolutely chips. Like I love like Doritos and Cheddar Ruffles.
A yellow Rockstar.
Bomb. Forget about it, man. Forget about it.
Bomb.
Yeah, like I even changed the Rockstar I drink. I stopped. I hate the way I feel when I drink carbonated beverages. I hate it. I absolutely hate it. So,
would you say it's an obsession?
What?
The whole health thing.
Yeah, I want to live forever. That's the problem. I want to live forever. I just don't want. I don't want to die when I'm 50, man. And now, by the way, I got this physical. My heart numbers, my heart health is phenomenal. I have no major, knock on wood.
Without pissing the dog.
Yeah, I have no major health issues. All of my systems are in great shape. All of my, my pee test came back fine. My blood came back fine. They don't have an explanation other than, the issue that sent me to get this ultrasound was that my red blood cell count was low by 5. Like, it needs to be 150. It was 145. And they couldn't explain why. And my spleen came back normal. It was on the, apparently I had a little bit of an enlarged spleen. Don't know why. So I did a ton of research on spleen health, and I've totally cut out ibuprofen because it's supposedly not good for your spleen. And now I go to the chiropractor about once a week, and I feel great. And my health is not an issue anymore.
Right.
And I want it to be that way for the next 50 years. Like, I want to be a viable human being at 100 years old. I want to be able to play basketball into my 60s and 70s. Probably not going to happen. But I want to bang. I want to snowboard. I want to travel the world. You know, like, there's stuff I want to do. I don't want to work for the rest of my life. You know, like, people don't think about that. I have no idea why we've spent 15 minutes on this. But the point is, it's National Donut Day.
It's real talk,
bro. You get one donut. What are you going to do?
Oreo.
You're doing it.
From Hertz. From Hertz.
Go to Bosa Donuts.
No, get out of here. Stop.
Yeah. The problem is those mega donuts are just so big. You know, like, it. I'm an Apple Fritter guy. I'm a Long John guy.
They do that, too. The problem is food's ruined for you. Let's be honest about it. Food is ruined
for you. To a certain extent, food is ruined for me. I agree with that. Still 4-3 Astros Red Sox, by the way. We should probably end the show now, Jake, because it is, we're going, how long do you think we've been going?
At least 50.
59 minutes. 59 and a half minutes.
Okay, we're at 30 seconds right now?
Yeah. 20 seconds now. 59:40. 59:40. Are you going to play the music?
All right, now I'm ready. Okay.
There you go. All right, that's it. Show's over. Make sure you follow me on Twitter, The Monty Show, M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. You can find this show via podcast, iHeartRadio, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcast, you can find The Monty Show. M-O-N-T-Y, The Monty Show. Have a great weekend. Say goodbye, Jake.
Goodbye, Jake.